Well, hello and welcome to episode 139 of the Adoption and Fostering Podcast with me, Scott Casson-Rennie, and him,
Al Coates. How the hell are you?
How the hell are you? I feel like you always ask me first, and then I go into a 10-minute waffle about how I am, and we never actually ask, how are you?
Oh, now that's... Right, don't start on me. Because I've had this, right? I've had this where my wife and her friend sort of cornered me, and they said, but how are you? And I went, oh, I'm fine. And then my wife's friend, who is a trained psychiatrist, said, but how are you? And I went, oh, it started to like,
oh,
it's like,
so you don't
Jedi.
Like being asked how you are then? Is that why you asked me immediately? So I'll go into this 10 minute waffle.
I'm really comfortable with the superficial.
Oh,
surely you know me.
It's
that
funny
well
that.
By now.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, if you weren't, I'd know if you were not. Would I? I don't know. Who knows? Who cares?
Who cares? It's not that interesting. So
anyway,
I'm
shall
fine.
I go into my 10-minute waffle?
Yes,
about how
please.
I
tell
am.
Me about how, because I'm sure that the nation awaits an update on your health. I'm still getting messages, people saying, "Oh, how is he?"
Oh, really? Do they not know I'm actually alive and fully compassment? Well, as fully compassment as I'll ever be. But
there's the public image, isn't there? And then there's the what is really going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. No. It's I'm just so bored now. I want my car back. That's what I want. I want my car keys so I can go for a drive on my own. And, you know, it's getting a little bit tedious now.
And is Triss chasing, like, is Triss got tabs on you? Does he know exactly where you are?
Oh, God, I'm sure he's popped something in the pocket of mine somewhere. So he tracks me where I go up the street and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, I've started to do maybe a couple hours maybe twice a week. Going into the office for a couple of hours just in case, whatever, I don't know, just to do little bits and bobs. Nothing strenuous, nothing that requires any brain power at all, apart from, you know, just little things. But yeah, I mean, like every time Triss tells a story, he says, oh, you'll get 95% brain capacity back. And I'm like, mate, I'm at 100% here. Like, this is, you know, this is real shizzle. And to be honest, some of the stuff that's a side effect of having brain aneurysms was there already, you know, like forgetting words halfway through a sentence and, you know, all that
all
sort of
normal.
Stuff. So just give me my car keys back now, please.
Right.
And let me crack on. The one thing I will say, though, I'm not that keen to go back to work, even though we desperately need the money. But I just, it's funny, isn't it? Because there's a difference between being well, sitting about on your backside doing nothing, and then being well if you then put yourself back into a full-time, all-in.
That's a different level
so
of wellness, isn't it?
Yeah. So as an example, today, this is going to sound really bad, but Triss is, it's hay fever season, so Triss is starting to get his hay fever, which happens every year. So every year I clean the bedroom. To make sure it's dust-free and we have a fan that circulates all the, you know, purifies air and all that sort of stuff. And I did one part of the bedroom and I had to lie down. It's like, okay. Yeah, because it's,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, that's
just not
how
used
it is.
To it.
That's
yeah.
how it is.
So
I just lean into it, man.
And then I found myself nodding off when I was sat down just for a couple of minutes. But Jacob politely gave me his cold 10 days ago. And that seems to have just lingered. I'm not sure what that's to do with. It's not COVID. I've done the COVID test and stuff, and that's all fine. But that seems to have lingered, and I've got this very strange sensation in my ears that they need to pop, and I've never had that before. So I don't know if that's maybe because it's connected to, who knows? You could just blame all life's foibles
Absolutely.
On the fact that I've, you know, been through what I've been through. But yeah.
That's good. There I mean, go. We had the podcasters like skirting around this danger of becoming like middle-aged men talk about their average life.
Their health.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a slight crick in my back.
Taking socks off, I was like, Christ, I can hardly get mine on in the morning. I have to sit on the side of the bed.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to listen to the end of the podcast for that.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to edit
thinking that.
A very complicated story about my daughter and...
in a knee.
Yeah, listen to the end of the podcast and you might get a sense of what happened there.
Yeah.
I'm conscious that right in the middle of all that, and I think this happens every year, is that Jacob's broken up by the summer. My goodness me. That's
E-bag-o.
A lot of summer coming up before you.
This is like first class parenting. This is what I'm going to say to you. Because
Why?
actually it's not that bad. It's not as bad as you think. And I think that perhaps the first year, maybe it seemed a little bit long. So bear in mind, first year was 2019. But then you know what happened. So then he was at home anyway, and I think you get used to that. But yeah, broken up. He's doing his a work placement this week, which is his final week, if you like. But he just doesn't have to go back into school. And then that's him till September when he goes back and does his equivalent of A-levels. He's starting them in September.
Bless his heart.
So yeah,
that's really positive. Well,
it is. And he's got this thing about his hair at the minute. Just a short story, but it was supposed to happen a couple of weeks ago. He has always had a fascination for dreadlocks, and he's grown his hair and let it go so scraggy now that it's actually about formed into dreadlocks. And he'll be 16 in August. He's not the kind of person that you would tell what to do. You might advise, you might give him your opinion, but
offer offer a suggestion.
Yes, exactly.
I've met him, I understand fully.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yes, amazing. I'll tell that story about him when you finished your story.
So anyway, he was supposed to go a couple of weeks ago, but he didn't have any money. And what he was doing was he was saving up all his lunch money. And, you know, we said to him, lunch money is for lunch. You're not spending on a hairdresser, because there's this fancy hairdresser that he has to go to, and they give you all the bits and bobs for it. And then, of course, he had his work placement. So I'm trying to find something else now to put in between the work placement and the appointment to go and get the dreadlocks done properly. So then he can't have them done either. So I'm just doing sneaky parenting. And he does listen to this now and again. So he's probably sussed me out already, to be honest with you. But, you know, whatever.
He's a step ahead of you all the way, that boy.
He's always a step ahead.
When I came to see you in Ireland, one thing that really stuck with me, because he said, oh, do you want to go? I said, oh, I want to go for a run, like 5K. And he went, oh, I've got a 5K route. And he... So he's.
I know what you're going to say.
So I said to him, look, be warned, I can do like 5K in 30 minutes, right? I can do that. I can do a bit. My record's a little bit shorter, but that I can average that. It's like I plod along. Mm. And he went, oh, that's fine. He said, this is 5K. I mean, my record is 22 minutes. I'm thinking, oh, flipping heck, 22 minutes. So off we went, and he talked from the moment we started. And I was out of breath trying to keep up with him for one, and he was just like, oh, look, there's a cow. Oh, I've been in that house. I've been the man at that house. He's a lovely man. And he just talked like that all the way around. And I was like coughing up blood. I could taste metal in my mouth. And I'd be going, yes, I think so. And then I'd have to breathe. And then we got to 5K, and I was thinking, we're miles from your house yet. So he's running 6.5K in 22 minutes. And that's like so beyond. I mean, we did not do that. I got to 5K and I said, you've had it. I'm done in. You're going to have to carry me. And he was just, he was like a mad, happy puppy. He's just lovely.
Yeah. He just does not stop. Bless him.
Bless him.
His brain is always on the go.
He is. He's an absolute star. But that's often the thought people have about other people's children, isn't it? Oh, lovely star.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Because I think all yours are angels.
That's not true. We're coming up to quite a busy June, so we sort of thought we'd be having a fill-in episode at all.
No, just a little bit of light relief before we get into quite a deep couple of podcast episodes.
So we've got Josh. Yeah, well, we've got Josh McAllister said he would come on, and we almost got a date out of him. So we're working on getting a date out of him, but it will be in a few weeks. But we have got a date for Will Quince. And how do you feel about that?
We have. Yeah, I'm kind of just like the last time we had a date for Will Quince. I'm kind of just ignoring it until the day before. Because it could change. Before. He could change. He might become someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
The whole world could change between now and then.
Oh,
but
crikey.
And of course, when was the last time we were supposed to speak to him?
It was the week before you had the shall not be mentioned.
No, so see, my kind of mindset is in a little bit of a different place as to what it was then, because, you know, I was in full work mode, I guess, back then, and now I'm
you
a bit
fizzing.
Like, meh. No.
So, we need to build up some pep.
Exactly.
I have thought really hard about this because I think that, I mean, it's worth noting that the care reviews come out, and I don't know whether you've had a chance to look through it. And I've not had a chance to sit down and read it. It's a big care review, and I've read bits of it and I've picked out bits of it. So I will read it beforehand. But have you followed any of the responses? Because I know you've been keeping a low profile.
Oh, I read media. Lots. I read lots. I just say nothing.
Oh, so wise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, you know, you might learn some
social media. Shut your face.
What's interesting is it stirred up a bit of a hornet's nest again, and I would say actually probably a bit more severe than it was when, you know, they first announced that they were going to do a care review and that Josh McAllister was going to be doing it and it was independent and or not, depending on what side of the fence you sit on. And yet again, you know, there's kind of people really going at each other about it. And, you know, I don't think there's much point in us going over some of this highlights until we've both kind of read it properly. But, you know, some of the stuff that's been mentioned online, seems a bit kind of, I don't know, volatile in terms of, you know, some of the stuff that's been, that I've seen anyway.
I think the responses have been quite measured from the big organisations, but they're going to be it's a political game. They're not going to...
Exactly, yes. Yeah, because I read one, let's call it a statement today, and, you know, it seems very kind of, as you would expect from a large organisation that's probably partially DfE funded.
Yes, what they're going to say.
So what are they going to say? And also, they don't want to say too much because they might not be invited around the table or whatever, and they've got, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think that what's happening is that the I don't want to call them little guys in terms of, you know, but the independent kind of one person kind of individuals who have an opinion on it are the ones that have a lot to say about it, and they're not the ones that are around that table. And that seems to me, you know, I'm not criticizing, but I'm not supporting, but that seems to be the kind of the journey that the care review has gone on as well. So I think, that's probably why I'm kind of just ignoring the fact that we've asked Josh to come back on, because I just know that the podcast is going to be transcribed again by the lovely lady that did it before.
I forgot that, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Watch your P's and Q's.
Because, you know, we have these people on to ask them the questions we want to ask. If you've got a podcast of your own, then feel free to invite them on as well. That's what, you know.
Oh, get you, bitchy.
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, we sat a ton. I am looking forward to seeing. I think it was surprising. I think people, if you're from an adoption world, you're probably surprised that there wasn't an awful lot of, there's not one recommendation, which was like, no surprise. You could guessed it.
Adoption has had so much attention anyway recently, hasn't it? You know.
So I was talking to someone today who was sort of saying that. But also I think that fostering, as much as there's sort of structural change, not much practice change. Anyway, we'll dig into that. And there's a few things that I have quite strong opinions about. But again, I'm like a political animal, I guess. I'm not a politician, but I feel like what fruit is it to kind of just absolutely slay the thing? Because the government will do what the government will do. And that's the questions I want to go out and say, well, what, you know, what is the government's response? What is it? But what is it? So I think that's something that is worth reading. And I think, you know, there's a whole raft of people who've got an interested, so the people like Become. I mean, we could probably actually post that when we do the, because I've written a list of all the responses and all in one place.
Yes.
So we could probably post that on the episode that we do it, just if people are interested.
That's not a bad plan. And the one thing I will say as well, disappointing to see the number of people in the House of Commons when it was discussed, when Will Quince had the opportunity to take it to House of Commons. There were very few people there to listen to the kind of, as an MP's. Talking about MPs in the House of Commons, that was very disappointing to see. And I don't care what side of the fence you sit on, that's, you know, everybody is kind of agreed on that. And it was the usual faces who really support children in care.
Definitely. I think so that's interesting. I think that's bubbling on the boil. Did you see this week that Nadine Sahawi had gone to the House of Commons Select Committee on Human Rights in relation to an adoption apology? Did you see that?
I didn't.
Oh, we're in your little Irish wonderland, you've missed that one.
Well, two reasons. One, my Irish little wonderland, although we do get British news here, just to be clear. And secondly, because I'm having a lot of issue with the government, anything that they've got to say or do.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, anyway, we'll move on from that. But yeah, crack on.
Well, no, I think that it was interesting because I think I watched it and I thought it wasn't a formal public apology, but he, as an individual or as a representative, gave an apology. So, but it wasn't right. We, the government, apologise. And then if you want to look into it and look, I mean, if people are interested, read some of the responses from people who were adopted. So actually Liz Harvey, who's kind of well in part of that, she was on the BBC News. So, I think again, just it seems like they're getting close to where they want to be, but then they seem to then grasp defeat out of the jaws of victory, the government, in relation to this one. So that's complicated. So that's something that's bubbling over as well. And there was the, I guess this is like a little mini net news update. And then the parent, the adoptive parent of the little boy who was murdered, they were found guilty of murder, but the adoptive father, wasn't. And I think that was a whole mess. But I don't really want to get into that. We've touched on that. And
to be clear, it was a prospective adopter who had them in foster to adopt placement.
Yes. And
they hadn't actually adopted him. So.
Yeah. And it was a heartrending sort of statement from the birth family.
Yeah. Horrible.
And, yeah, absolutely bleak. Then moving on to on a downward spiral of news, I've had my annual appraisal, Scott.
Oh, how are we getting on this year then, Al?
Well, we've moved to a less scoring based system. For long term listeners, they'll understand that is a.
I've just got one thing to say: appearance, because we're that here.
Oh yeah, I look like Marv or Home Alone.
Yes, you do.
And this isn't not just, I mean, this sounds like it's the start of a flippant story, but actually my esteemed boss, said, we went through the appraisal, it was all fine. She went, can I talk to you about something? And like that, my heart dropped. I thought, oh, I've been, what have I done? And I've been busted or rumbled or something, you know, like that immediate thing, I've done something wrong. And she went, you know, you did have a pretty crap experience of being a foster carer, don't you? And I started to do a bit of a twitch. And I went, yeah. And she went, you know, that really does colour your view quite badly. And it was a real wake up call. She said, you know, we're a foster service. We do all of that, and you know, all of the work that you do. She said, you know, it's not to downplay any of the support. There's no hint of that. She said, but actually, if you're talking privately, your view is sorely negative. And she went, you need to reawaken the reason you became a foster carer. And it was just, you know, when someone says something and it was an absolute light bulb moment, I thought, oh. She went, you know, you're an expert in all of these things about challenging behaviour. She said, but don't let that take away from the fact that you still believe in foster care. So it was a real moment of kind of really pulled me up.
Would you do the job if you didn't believe in the foster care and what have you thought?
Don't you flippin'. Everyone's having a go at me now.
No, I'm not having a go at you. I'm just asking you a genuine question because I think that, you know, you couldn't have, it couldn't have put you off too much for you to become a social worker.
Well, I mean, how I got into social work is not necessarily. Well, that's a really good question. I think I got into social work because out of a desire to support foster carers. Which is a little bit different to get into fostering because I believe that people should foster. I don't know whether I've shared this on the podcast. So I'd always anticipated when I started to train. There's lots of reasons why I trained. One was there was a bursary and it wouldn't pay the bills for a bit, which is a terrible reason to become a social worker. I'd always been involved. And I thought, actually, I'm interested in learning. It was a fantastic experience. I did 3 years degree. And I always expected that I would become an adoption social worker, like either post-adoption support or assessing families. Because it just seemed like, well, of course you would.
Yeah. You'd bring your personal experience along with your professional experience and solve all the problems.
Yeah, just sprinkle my own little fairy dust on But to get into adoption social work, my understanding was, and it's still, I think it's true now, there was a period of time when it wasn't true, is that sort of adoption is seen, or historically was seen, as the sort of vanguard of social work. It was seen as probably one of the most complex, responsible jobs. Now, I think child protection has probably been seen as, because sort of everyone thinks child protection when they think social work. But I, but the when you look at any job application to become a post-adoption support worker, it's always like you need 3 years post-qualified experience. If you want to be a child protection social worker or a children and family social worker, you don't. You just, you can literally go straight from college, university into it. And I did my final placement as a children and families social work student. And I hated every minute of it. The people I worked with, like I worked with the children and the families that I worked with, absolutely fine. I hated the structure.
Right.
And I found it really quite oppressive. And I just, having worked always in small organisations, like all through my working life, coming into a big, like, local authority, just, I felt really disempowering and confusing. Yeah. And I just thought, this isn't actually for me. And also I had lots of questions about the ethics and the systems and the, you know, the values around child protection and children and families work. And, you know, if you're expected to do a good job, but you're kind of then hamstrung to do that job, then how can you do it? And is it, yeah, all those question things. And so I literally, I was so impacted that when I qualified, which was the day my youngest daughter, 10-year-old, moved in, she was 20 months, I thought, I'm not sure I want to be a social worker because I so disliked it. And I didn't know how I could get to be an adoption social worker because I thought, and I think then maybe I thought, I'm not sure. I think I'd probably be the worst adoption support. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me turning up at your door? Hello. Hiya. How's it going? That's dismissive. But you can understand, if you had a social worker, and so how do you tell people? I mean, you build up really close relationships in post-adoption, don't you, usually?
Yeah.
And people would, how would they not find out eventually that I have 6 adopted children? And that's kind of, that would mess up people's heads.
Yeah. And also they'd probably feel quite intimidated by some of the kind of stuff that you're sharing. And also if you were supporting the family in that way and they were really struggling, it may come back to bite you in the backside as well, because, you know, you could have seem to be giving them information and support that they've grasped onto and think that is what's happening. Then it all goes, even gets even worse for them because it didn't work for them. So yeah.
And I think my family was quite complicated at the time. It's always been complicated, but I think it was one of its sort of its peaks, you know, one of the very many peaks, I think, the Alps. And I thought to myself, right, okay, if I'm an adoptive parent going into a home where someone's struggling, where's my out? You know, because I'm like, my day job is this, and I'm going home with this. And I thought that is going to be really toxic for me. I'd probably go loopy. So I saw a job. I applied to be a children and family social worker just because eventually I do need to actually earn a living. And for my local authority, which was... And I applied at the same time for a part-time job for a local fostering charity. And, you know, I've been a foster carer, and they said, hey, we think you're out. Normally you would be post-qualifying 2 years, and I'd had experience, I'd done some fostering when I was in a student, I've been a foster carer, yada, yada, yada. And they went, you're our guy. And then I got another job here, which is my London job. So there you are. That's how I can't remember how we got onto that. But what I do think is that's how I got into fostering. And but I think that the impact of my experience of fostering, so I wanted to support families, and that I found really passionate how to, I just always had a desire to be like just normal.
Yeah.
It's a really lofty desire, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Normal.
I can't see that's ever going to be achieved.
But you know what I mean? Thinking about across all of my social workers who have come to me, the little things have made the huge difference, which is things like turning up on time, doing as they say, speaking common sense, being honest about whether they can or can't help, not telling me it's my fault, even when it is my fault, but helping me understand how I can improve. So that's how I became a fostering social worker, and and the rest, as they say, is history.
It's history.
So in my appraisal, I've had to really think and actually engage the values about, you know, I really wanted to make a difference when we fostered. My desire was to really help children. And actually, I'm finding it quite interesting sort of exploring myself a bit about that. Is this like a really boring segment of the podcast, right?
Oh, it sounds like you're kind of, I don't know, sounds like something you should speak to your therapist about, almost.
Oh, I forget. I must ring him. Oh, that, bless him. We should mention Satwinder. Conference, shouldn't we? We should mention it. Yeah,
I know. We did say we mentioned it because I don't know. Is it their first one? I don't know if it's their first conference, but certainly international. Oh, I can't remember. I can never remember the blooming name because it's an acronym, isn't it? IAC, which stands for Inter-Country. No.
He didn't tell me off for getting the name wrong before,
but I did get the name wrong before. But in my head, it's Inter-Country Adoption Agency, but it's not. That's not the name of it. It's IEC anyway. And they're 25 years old this year, aren't they? So I think they're doing they're trying something new.
Yeah, they're going to have a conference, and they've got some really interesting people coming to talk about identity and a whole raft of things that is kind of, which is I can't imagine where they got that idea from, Scott. Do you know where they got that idea?
I honestly don't know if there was anybody else doing that sort of thing in the last 12 months somewhere. But basically, it's called the Adoption Reconstruction.
Oh.
So it's the Centre for Adoption, they now call themselves. IEC, the Centre for Adoption. The name of the conference is the Adoption Reconstruction. It's to celebrate the 25 years of IEC. And I think the difference really between a more recent conference 6 months ago looking at identity is that this one really focuses in on race and all the kind of things that, you know, other people know more about than we did.
That's reasonable. I think it's going to be a really interesting conference. So we, if you go onto Twitter or Google, IAC, the Centre for Adoption, I am intrigued now. I'm going to have to think really hard about what IAC stands for, because IAC, the Centre for Adoption, International Adoption Centre.
Yeah. That's what they used to.
That's what they were. Now this is who they are. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
We should really take up advertising. We should. I think our futures, we could make a real fortune at that.
Yeah.
Not so shabby at all.
It's been chaired by Sat, who we've had on before a couple of times. Really always love speaking to Sat because he's just got one of those voices I could listen to all day.
Oh, he's got a great voice for radio.
He does, doesn't he? He's so balanced in his view and stuff like that. And then they've got, as far as I'm aware, just two speakers. They've got a keynote speaker called Eugene Ellis. And Shania, who spoke on our conference as well, so probably a little bit more. They've got less speakers on theirs, so probably got a little bit more time than we kind of gave, so that'd be interesting.
We
shouldn't compare,
but ours was better, I know, but we could say that with loving. It's like children. No, you're not better. You're just different.
Oh, no, there's more speakers than that. I do apologise. So we've got...
We're giving them more time than we even give to the things
I know. But anyway, there's five speakers in total. Sorry.
He's not
sorry
paying
to the,
you and not me, is
the
he?
Other ladies. No, that's what I was going to say. Like, we should be getting paid to advertise this stuff. But it looks like a great... And, you know, 25 years, you know, we've been going for six. So, you know.
I still can't get away from this really complicated feeling I have about international adoption, but that's not.
I know.
I think the
one thing that I've loved, and it's not anything to do with the previous CEO, who I did meet a couple of times when I was involved with the CBA. But she'd set up and she wanted to retire, and I think it needed that bit of fresh blood to kind of inject into it. So I think that perhaps Sat listens to, you know, what it is that the families need. and whilst I'm sure that placements are still kind of, you know, something that I do suspect that support is quite an important issue for them now, because, you know, we know ourselves, from speaking to various people in the podcast, when they've adopted from abroad, they don't not automatically always get the same support that, you know, we would get from if we were adopting from a local authority living in the UK. So, you know, for a child living in the UK, I mean, so yeah. It's,
we've literally spent hours on this. It's like a huge.
We have. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, will we? I mean, I've got a ticket. I'm going to try and get there.
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah. Well, I've got a ticket. I will try and go to as much of it as possible.
Excellent.
With all being on screen, I don't do so well with the screen for too long. A minute. But then I can always just wander around, you see, and have it on the background. Like we've encouraged so many times for our conference.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to watch it. You can actually just listen to it in the background.
I've been doing lots of training, which is, I'm going to really briefly say, I'm doing lots of training around working with and living with challenging violent aggressive behaviour. But the interesting thing is that I was asked to do one in the USA. Apparently they're in a different time zone. And do you know when you put things in your diary?
I was just laughing when you said that. I was like, he has no clue. He's an idiot. The man is an idiot.
I am an idiot. It seemed like a really good idea at the time. And I, you know, when you put things in your diary and you go, it's in 8 weeks. It's fine. And then it got to the day and I thought, I have to stay up till 12:30 before I even start. And I was like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to?
Yeah.
And I was like pacing because I didn't know what to do. It turned out it was all absolutely fine. And it was amazing to speak to some people. What was fascinating was that you can totally transplant all of the difficulties and challenges that we have as a community into America and into South America. There's a family from South America who turned up. Blimey, that's dedication. Yeah. So that was the West Coast, East Coast. That was North America, South America. It was like Northern states and Southern states. And just the, yeah, we talk a different language. We've got a different system of getting our children in, but just the themes of really struggling to get listened to by some services, about isolation in families, about parents not always being that helpful, about just people... the adoptive parents are really struggling. So it was fascinating, and it really, really informative. I just was very tired the next day.
I can imagine. And did you have to have closed captions for them to understand what you were saying?
I said, Bayek is like, welcome to North. That's my Yorkshire accent. No, I gave them a brief history tour of where I lived in the UK.
That made no difference to them whatsoever.
No, I think they were mildly interested. Northumberland has I did slip into like teacher dad going, Northumberland has the most castles of any county in England. And it's the biggest county in England.
And now they think you live in a castle.
They literally think I live in a castle in the biggest county, and you know, there's Romans and Celts all around everywhere.
Yeah, and they probably think that the UK is about the same size as America, you know.
Well, yes, in many ways it isn't.
Yeah. No, in a lot of ways.
And looking at our list of news items, there's only one thing left on that list, Scott, and that's one thing you put on the list, which is unusual because normally you don't like to fiddle them on
that
list.
What did I say?
Right, and this is a total whimsical event.
Well, it is. Yeah, I was just wondering how you were getting on with your trolls and things like that. Is everything okay?
Well,
to talk about it? Or?
I like to think it's a case of mistaken identity.
Well, can I just say? I think that you're absolutely bang on with this one.
So some poor soul out there who should be getting trolled isn't getting trolled. Yeah, I got a notification from Twitter saying that they've sorted my troll out. So that's good.
Fabulous. That's good. Well, I'm pleased about that because it does. I do spend far too much time looking out for you. So I've been looking at the trolls feed every day for about an hour because they tweet so much rubbish. It kind of became a bit of obsessive because obviously I have nothing else to do at the minute.
Absolutely.
You know, why would you not?
And
reporting all the folks for just stupid comments.
My children's responses are just fantastic. So my children are not on Twitter and probably good. I think they maybe slightly lurk on Twitter. But one of my children thought I went up in their estimation. I was actually reached a level of semi-celebrity status because I've got a troll. The other one was like, but why? You're just such an idiot. Why would anyone even bother? And the other one was ready to like literally burn the internet down. There was a sense of that, you know, some of my children have lots of, well, like all of our children, but one of them just was like, she's looking for a fight every morning when she wakes up. Yeah. Oh, we're going to fight today. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, so that's all sorted out. That's good. I can rest easy.
I'm pleased. I am pleased.
Yeah.
That's my fun finish now. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself for half an hour each day.
The Metropolitan Police have got no one to look after now. They realise I'm not the person. You know, I've got a report. Like I said, this man needs resting because he's started Linkmaker. No, that's not me. I wouldn't mind being a penny behind Andrew Leary May.
No, I know. Me either. Yeah. And anybody who wants to find Stalker can now find them just by Googling, just by going onto Twitter and putting in three keywords to search. But don't feel you have to.
People have got better things to do with their time.
Yeah. Anyway, but if you want to know, just DM me privately and I'll let you in on the big
DM secret. Me. Yeah. And so we've got a few things coming up this month, so that's great. It's been lovely to speak to you, Scott. Absolute pleasure.
Has been all yours.
Once again, all mine.
As you would say. Yeah.
I have one of my social work students occasionally brings food in for the team. Which is not bribery, just hospitality. We've made that clear. We've had to look at the policy. And I've got a tub of lovely food to eat for my tea.
Oh, really? Oh, fabulous. Yeah.
That's
no more beard products? Nothing like that yet? No?
No, we've got beard products from the other one.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's normally at the end of their placements, isn't it? And they give you leaving gifts and stuff. Yeah.
Like good riddance gifts. Yeah.
I feel like I need to start doing something with that. As in just start to employ people so I get leaving gifts when after their 6 months is up. We get rid of
them. You sack them so you can get... I'm not sure that would provoke them to get you a leaving gift. Maybe two fingers.
See, if you want to be let out of the office, you will bring me a gift. Yes. You'll order it on Amazon now and have it expressed. Oh, how fun would that be? That'd be lovely.
Excellent. Well, Scott... Yeah. As always, the pleasure has been all yours, and I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope the beginning of your almost eternal school holidays goes well.
Yes, thank you for that. Much appreciated. We have plans, you know. We do have plans.
Oh, what are you doing?
Well, we're getting rid of them for a week because we're sending to a camp.
Oh.
Yeah.
So dreadlock at least camp or something.
No, it's an acting. Action, darling. Action.
He's going to be a thespian, is he? Thespian.
Well, it sounds like that. I don't know. He's going on a camp anyway. We decided we can't really afford it, but it'll be good for him to go and see his friends for a week. So.
Can you afford not to?
This is the thing, you see.
I should be a social worker. I should be like, wasn't that good? Is.
Actually, I think you should be a psycho. Therapist or something.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
No, actually, really wouldn't. No. Not sure that'd be your cup of tea.
That was my best soothing voice. Do you like it?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Can you afford not to?
No, we can't. That's why we decided to. Yeah, so,
fair enough. All right.
Yeah. Adios, amigos.
Yeah, Bon Jovi.
Anchovy.
Don't ever think that thought. Stop. And I was like trying to get it. Trying to reverse time so that thought never. She just, and I was like, and she was laughing like a drain because she realised what she said. And she's got a wicked sense of humour. And So.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's appropriate for the podcast, but it's just a window into my parenting.
I think it's bordering on something that maybe shouldn't be in the podcast.
I'm glad you told me the story, but I'm not sure.
And can I just say as well, is this what having girls does to you? Like, you know, you can be stitched up at a moment's notice because of it, and then you end up they pick up.
Well, I mean, it's a philosophical question about parenting: is do you use accurate terms or do you use? Because I must have told you when the boy was little, we used to go. Wash your ding dong, you know, like, you know, look, attend to your ding dong. So he was only little, I mean, like 2, 3, 4. And then it dawned on me, he was going to start school and he was coming up to being at school. And I thought, you know what's going to happen? He's going to go to his first carol service and they're going to sing Ding Dong Merrily on High. And the poor lad is going to be either very confused or very happy or traumatised forever.
Yeah.
And so we then had to revert to kind of, I suppose, penis? Is that okay to say?
I can't even remember what the boys called it. I think it was. I think they said dinky when they came, but they'd chosen that word. I hadn't, you know. Whereas for your young one, he was nonverbal when he came to you because he was too young, wasn't he? So he'd learn all the words from you. Whereas ours are 7 and 8, so a lot older. But I think they said dinky. I'm sure they did. And any other word that was funny.
Well, yeah, boys. Boys have a very different attitude to their nethers.
Oh, completely, don't they, Johnston? Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, not so sure about that story, to be honest with you. I think that's, like you say, verging on social work registration being removed.
I mean, I did nothing wrong.
An investigation taken. No, you didn't, but... But the amount of trolls you've got, someone will land you in it. Christ.
Oh yeah, that right. It's not in. You've sealed the deal there. It's not going in. Yeah. I might put an edited version without the story into the podcast.
That might be nice. Yeah.
You can't tell the story without telling the story though.
It's never the same, is it?
I tell you what. When we do this is a nice segue. We'll put this at the end of the podcast. When we do our on the road podcast, I'll tell the story there then.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Everyone put their phones on the table, face down. I want to make sure no one's recording. Put them in
this basket. And I'm coming around to check everybody's got the filming it.
Yeah, you can pat everyone down just to make sure there's no one.
Yeah.
FBI. Excellent. Well done. 7 out of 10. Mm. So shall we just crack it? Shall we just go into it? Because I've got things on my list. You've got things on your list. So it's 139. You crack on.
Okay. I haven't got anything on my list, by the way.